This morning, we'll be continuing our series called Life Outside the Boat. For those who were not here last week, you might be thinking, oh, maybe Jim's going to whip out the hula hoop again. I'm not, so sorry, we're just going to keep that away. But I did talk about last week, disciple Peter, stepping out of the boat, wanting to be like Jesus, walking on water like Jesus. And this whole series is about stepping out in faith, taking the first step. And this morning, we will be looking at a message about walking in faith. So taking the first step, now we're going to be looking at walking in faith. And what's life outside the boat when we're really being led by God in everything? So walking by faith will be in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 8 to 19. If you'd like to look that up, you can on a digital device. If you're using one of the Bibles in the chair, that's on page 1007 and starts right on the bottom right corner. I'll be reading this in a moment. We'll be looking at a couple verses this morning from Hebrews, primarily focusing on faith examples. And the two main people, it will be Abraham and Sarah, as well as some more just examples from not too long ago. So I'm hoping to encourage, inspire, challenge all of us, including myself, to grow with a bigger perspective of God and step out accordingly. So we're talking about faith. I shared this verse last week, but I'll share it again. The author of Hebrews explains faith this way. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, for by it the people of old receive their commendation. Commendation, sorry, not condemnation. That's a different verse. That'd be a different sermon, too. People walking out by faith. And if you have not read the chapter of Hebrews, there's awesome examples of men and women who are just stepping out in faith. The focus of this passage is really faith looking at to what God is promising for a future promise with him, essentially being in heaven with him forever. And as I've been studying this passage, I've just been thinking more and more about heaven and getting really, really excited about being with Jesus forever. Anyone else excited about that? It gets you pumped up? I don't often honestly think about heaven every day, but this past week I have. I don't know, I'm not at like an Apostle Paul level, but I know Apostle Paul's like, man, I wish I could just go and be with Jesus, right, in heaven, but it's better that I stay and accomplish the things. But we think about our short time on this planet, and we get to think of eternity with God for those who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and it doesn't get any better than that. But the folks in Hebrews 11, they were looking for that future promise, holding on to it by faith that God was promising a future home for them, but acting accordingly while they're on planet Earth. And we want to do likewise. So before we look at the passage, I want to talk about our object of faith, which is God. And I want to talk about some of the characteristics of God, which are, I think, a great reminder. So when we talk about God, and I think Laurel had she was just standing right over here. She's mentioning if we have a small view of God, then we're going to step out in small ways. We're also going to pray small. We'll live small. We'll give small. We'll serve small. We'll love small. Because if our object of our faith is misguided or not based on who God is, we'll act accordingly. Does that make sense? Small God, small faith. But the thing is, we can't actually change God. It's just how we're acting. God stays the same regardless. So let's look at some of his characteristics. Some of the things about God, and some of you know this, which is awesome, but I just want to give us as a reminder before we talk about walking in faith. God is eternal. He's outside of time, which blows my mind. He's before time, created time. And he's always been in existence. He's self-existent, meaning he doesn't need you or I at all. If we were to die, which one day we will, God goes on. If God were to die, we would not go on. But he doesn't die. He's eternal, right? Self-existent. That's why it's good to know that the attributes. Some of the omnis. He's all-powerful. He's all-present. And he's all-knowing. Neat things about God. He's righteous. He's unchangeable, which is really good. Because hopefully, as you're seeing this list, these are really good attributes, right? It's not that he's evil and corrupt and misguided and he's unchanging. Sometimes we know people like that, right? That just don't want to change broken behaviors. But God, he's the best there is, and he's unchanging in his goodness. Pat Noble was talking about the sovereignty of God, that God reigns over all things. And knowing that, wow, God, you're not just aware of some things going on in the universe. God, you reign over everything. He's just, he's good, and he's love. We serve an awesome God, amen? He's truly wonderful. And he is a miracle working God. He works miracles even today, and I'm excited in a moment I'll share a couple cool examples. But let's look at the passage this morning in Hebrews chapter 11, as we just get to learn a little bit more about Abraham and Sarah and their story. For some of us, this will be a kind of reminder. For others, this might be brand new. So I'm going to read from the Bible right here. This will be forwarded along. But we'll start in chapter 11 and verse 8. So we'll be looking at primarily Abraham and Sarah in this context. And we'll be looking at some of the ways that they stepped out in faith. So verse 8 says, "By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has its foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore." Really fun visual there. "These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land from which they had gone out, they would have had the opportunity to return. But as it is, they desired a better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city." Verse 17, "By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, 'Through Isaac shall your offspring be named.' He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back." Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you for just the examples we have recorded in this passage of Hebrews, of Abraham and Sarah. God, would you teach us today? Lord, just have a bigger view of you, that faith that would just arise in our hearts, God, that we could take our focuses off of the things on this earth, the success of this earth, the struggles, the places that we're in of difficulty, and fix our eyes on you. Help us, God, to hear from you and step out in faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Cool, so we're going to go look through this in a couple different chunks this morning. So really, there's the examples. So walking by faith, and here's the examples. We have examples of Abraham and his family, Sarah, moving in faith. We have a miracle of faith. We have a couple of people being mindful of a future home, which is our heavenly home, and then making bold decisions. So we'll take these each one at a time. So the first thing I want to talk about was Abraham being called by God to leave his homeland and go somewhere else where he's never been. Moving, literally, I titled this Moving in Faith, but literally moving out in faith. And some of you maybe have made those kind of ventures before. You felt God speaking in your heart, and it's like, I want you to go to a different town. Maybe it's, I want you to go to a different state. For some of you, you've been to a different country, or maybe you came over to this country, and you stepped out in faith. And we see Abraham not getting locked in on just like his family and friends and the things that are familiar. But he listened to the voice of God and believed the voice of God. He stepped out of his, so to speak, comfortable boat or hula hoop, for those who were here last week, and he walked in faith into a new place. Now, this is a pretty big move. You really have to have a really strong perspective of God and hearing God's voice just to move your whole family. Are you with me? To move everything. Like, literally, I'm going to take this, whatever this is. So yeah, this is my demonstration of, this is everything you put into a U-Haul. You wish, right? You wish moving with this easy, right? Just take it. But we have this here. This is where we're at right now. And for Abraham and Sarah and the family, they're with their family, they're with what's familiar. And God's saying, I want you to go to a new place. I don't want you just to go to a new place just because it's like, hey, you guys should open up a shop or start a Chick-fil-A or something over in the new land. I got a promise that I want to have in your family, that I want you to be a blessing, and your children and descendants are going to be like the grain of the sand, like the stars in the sky, and I want you to go to a new place. So Abraham, in faith, takes a step of faith, but then he walks, and you take everything. And that's a huge, huge deal. And there's men and women here and also all throughout the ages who have made huge steps of faith. That's like, Lord, I'm banking. Like, if this isn't from you, I'm going to look like a fool. If this isn't from you, I just gave up a career that was the best thing I had going. This wasn't from you. I left a family and friends, or even just the familiar comforts of home. I know for some people, even coming into Potsdam can be a little bit different than when they started from. Some people, you're from Potsdam. Others, you've come here, and it can be a little bit different, and that can be really hard. I'm going to borrow this chair, musicians. I'll hopefully bring it back. But when we're moving, we really got to have a big view of God. And as I was thinking of a present-day example, the reminder that kept coming to mind, you know them, you love them, they've been here for a long time, but John and Jane Ault. I asked them, can I share just a little bit of their story? And they said, yes. So when I think of someone moving in faith, really their whole lives, I think, are been led by faith. I just love John and Jane. And I asked, can you just share a little bit with me? What was it like, again, moving to Potsdam? And so they shared some things, which I wrote down here. So John and Jane, they arrived in Potsdam. John said this. He's like, he believed it was a move of faith or they were just playing crazy. That's a direct quote. And that's an interesting thing. I'm glad he said it that way, because if it's not God, it will look just crazy with no kingdom fruit. But even if it is a thing of God, it can look crazy to other people or to self, but there's kingdom fruit. And let me say, just being here with you, there's obviously been great kingdom fruit through both of your guys' sacrifice. Can we just give them a clap of thanks? I was telling John or Jane, I'm like, you're like grandparents to me, and I'm just so thankful for your heart to make that move over to Potsdam. They came over on December 30th, 1969, between snowstorms. I'm sure we can kind of visualize that. I heard they had more snow back then, but I wasn't around, so I can't really say if that's true or not. They were guaranteed food and shelter for 1 year, and it was a salary that was half of what Jane had been making. We're talking about, like, this isn't like, hey, let's move to, like, some beautiful mansion on the coast with a salary. This, you know, this is challenge. This is sacrifice is being made. But they heard the voice of God, and they want to walk out accordingly. Jane was 7 months pregnant. I didn't understand why that was, like, such a big deal until my wife had, we had her first baby. And I'm like, wow, blessings on you. I'm like, man, wow. Yeah, just when I was single, I just had no real comprehension of why that would be a big deal. Over here, this is at the 10th year anniversary of John and Jane down here. Because there was not a building for many years, they would meet in the summers for 7 years at Higley Flow State Park. And then do services down there. And God was so faithful. Like, they made a huge move of faith. But when they were here, they still had to make moves of faith all over the place, going from living rooms to houses to other church basements, the civics, like, all over the place. And for some of us, maybe God's been stirring in your heart a place to move out to. I was just talking to a college student this morning. Like, the question, if you're a senior, right, where are you going next? And some of you are like, I know. And others are like, I have no clue. Or maybe you're a community member and you're just like, I feel like God's called me to go to someplace new. And it's just like, but I'm not sure where. I would encourage you, if you are moving out or if God's putting it on your heart to move out, keep listening to his voice. Don't get so stuck up on the familiar, the friends, and the family not to move out. It's been really neat. We've had missionaries go out who felt they were called to go over to Indonesia or in inland Asia, or go down to Haiti, or go over to India, literally moving, making sacrifices for the kingdom to share God all around. But let me just say, there's faith to move out, and this is kind of the reverse of this, but there's also faith to stay. Sometimes it can be really difficult to move to somewhere God's telling you to, but sometimes it can be really difficult to stay. Are you with me? And maybe God's saying, all of us are called. So I don't want to make it, oh, if you're called out, you're somehow living for the Lord. And if you stay, you're not. If you're staying somewhere, if God's saying, hey, I want you to say stay in Potsdam or stay for the college students, you live in different places, be sure to listen to the voice of God, that you're not just picking the comfortable route, but you're listening to God and his plan for you. I remember talking to a business owner in town who was an entrepreneur and had a lot of business skills, and he's going to go live in the city and move to a city. He's going to be incredibly wealthy, rich, amazing man. and loved the Lord, and he felt like he had a prophetic word over him, and God said, I want you to stay in the North Country. I want you to develop business and industry up here and stay. And for him staying, that was his step of faith. And now his business provides, I think, almost 50 jobs throughout the area, and God's really blessed them. But I want to encourage you, each one of us, what is God putting in your heart? Maybe some of you are being called to a different country, and you might be checking that out, like, Lord, are you really calling me to do missions over somewhere, or short-term missions, or maybe to stay here? It's so key to know who God is, those attributes, but also to be willing to step out in faith. And John and Jane, we mentioned it, we're just so thankful for your step of faith. I want to move on to the next part. Now I want to talk about a miracle of faith. This is a very specific one, and so obviously there's some specific application, but I'm going to take a general principle. So Abraham and Sarah, many of you know the story. If you want to read it a little bit slower in detail, it's about Genesis 12 to Genesis 22. But Abraham and Sarah couldn't have children. And maybe some here, you haven't been able to have children, or you had a children, it's a miracle child. But they weren't able to have children. And the Lord came to them through some messengers to Abraham and Sarah saying, hey, you're going to be with child. And I love Abraham and Sarah because they're not perfect, and I can relate to that. They're ordinary people who are believing in an amazing God and stepping out of faith, and they sometimes doubted. They sometimes struggled. When Sarah heard the news, she laughed. Like, really? Is that really going to happen? I'm 90 years old. My husband's 100. We read in the text, as far as Abraham having kids, it says that he's like as good as a dead man. That's not like talking to like physical dead. That's talking about, for those who are on the end, that's talking about having kids. You're like, you're a dead man. It's like, really, Lord? That's going to happen? Okay, sure. So she had some struggles. I'm sure Abraham was doubting some. But the neat thing is, if God makes the promise, he's the one that upholds the promise, even if we falter. Isn't that awesome? Because we might fail, and oftentimes we will. But God, he never fails. He's unchanging, and he's true. As you might remember this story, they made some mistakes, Abraham and Sarah. They wanted to do kind of a quicker approach. And if you know the story, they made some sin options that weren't a great idea at all. But God still honors the blessing and the word he gives them. And they have a son. They have Isaac, which is just amazing. And as I was thinking about that, at our Tuesday Together meeting just this past week, I was talking with Dane Merritt. And Dane, I think Mark Reardon were talking about a time when Dane and Joanne's daughter wasn't able to conceive, and I asked permission to share the story. And so she wasn't able to conceive. Her and her husband had spent all their money, all their resources on every single kind of thing to try to have a child. And if you've been there, you know the pain, or maybe you know a friend who's been there before. And it was really neat because Dane was saying there was a time they're like, Dane was encouraging his daughter, just maybe stop trying or stop doing all these other things. We're going to spend some time praying in a small group up here. And I believe it was Dane and Mark and others were praying in a small group, and God blessed them with a child. I just thought, like, man, the same God back then is the same God today. Amen? He works miracles. And we got to know that God does the supernatural. So maybe you're in that exact place of, like, I really want a child. Lord, I just pray for that kind of blessing over you and that faith also. God, I really long for that. But let's back off. Not all of us are necessarily looking at having a child, or maybe that's not a difficulty. Let's just talk about the miracle of faith. How do you view God when it comes to the supernatural? Do you believe he's the same God today? I was talking to my wife, Crystal, and she gave me permission to share. She told me how when she was 18, one of her good friends, Brendan, was colorblind. And they were at like this youth revival thing, and Crystal felt prompted by the Holy Spirit to pray for her close friend, Brendan, that he would receive the ability to see colors, which he'd never had. He's 18 years old. He's gone his whole life colorblind. and her friend Hannah prayed over Brandon. And after they prayed, Brandon's like, I'm starting to see something I've never seen before. He started looking at neon lights, and they're saying that's a pinkish light, and that's an orange. And he actually started having color restored. But it wasn't fully restored yet. So someone else is like, hey, how about we pray again? So they prayed over Brandon. More colors came back. This guy's 18 years old, been colorblind his whole life. My wife, Crystal, one of her friends, just praying over, and God's just doing miraculous healing. He can see color now. Isn't our God awesome? Our God is a miracle God. I remember one time when I was driving and borrowing a buddy's car, and I shared this before, but I just love it because it's on like the mechanical, technical side for all those techies here. I was driving a car that was really like it was kind of junk, and I was driving it. It was 90 degrees. The car was overheating. And I was like, this isn't my car. I'm in the middle of nowhere, and it's overheating. So I turned on the heat to try to bring heat off the engine, and it was just, like, spiking. So my rare moment of just, like, crying out to God because I didn't know what to do. I just put my hand on the dash. I'm like, in the name of Jesus, I asked if this heat would go down now. Instantly, the heat went right back down to the middle. I never had that happen before. It was only that one time. I don't know why. I just know that's not something cool that Jim does. That's something neat that God can do. Our God is a miracle working God. So when he's asking us to step out, Lord, how are you going to provide? Oh, God can provide in ways that will blow away your mind. When it comes to healing, and I really personally want to grow in this area, but also us as a church to pray for those who are sick, our God is a healer. If you don't believe he can do miracles, you're not going to pray for anyone that's sick. And if you do pray for them, you're not going to believe they'll get healed. I remember when a buddy of mine was in college, he had pulled his back lifting weights. I've shared this before, but just as a way to encourage. And we were gathering together in a dorm room. We were praying. I really had very mild faith he would actually get healed. And he was just hunched over, barely can move. His name was John, one of my best friends. My buddy Dave was just listening to the Holy Spirit. And he's like, Jim, God wants you to pray and have him get healed. I'm like, yeah, sure, whatever, Dave. I didn't say that. I thought that. So I prayed for my buddy John. I'm like, God, I pray that you just heal his back. He was all the way hunched over. He threw too much weight up in the gym, so he pulled it. Instantly, back went right up. Our God is just an awesome, miracle-working God. So if God's asking you to step out in places where you're wondering, how's he going to provide? Know that God works miracles. If you wonder, how's he going to heal someone? We don't force will or anything a miracle. We just listen to what the Holy Spirit's doing and respond. Are you with me? Just listening to the voice of God. So I'm going to have to go through a couple of these a little bit faster, but, oh yeah, the blessing of the child. I love that photo for the miracle of Isaac. So let's keep moving. Mindful of the future home. Those that are listening in Hebrews, they had to focus on a future home that was coming. They did not get stuck on the things of this earth only. They had a mindful focus. And as I think of someone who lived this out, and I've shared this before, probably one of my favorite missionary biographies, which I'll just highlight his quote for time, is Jim Elliot. He said this, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." Sometimes it's easy to think of, oh man, John and Jane made a huge sacrifice coming here, or others have gone to other countries. But if you have a big view of God and a huge view of heaven, how small are those sacrifices in compared to eternity? Are you with me? They're really not that big. I'm not going to say that they're not hard or difficult, but man, there's a future blessing and a future reward coming, not just knowing Jesus now, but being with him forever. And boy, would it be awesome when we get to be in heaven. To be like, God, I gave it my all. I ran my best. I thought my best. I tried to love with your Holy Spirit the best I could because I had a future perspective. Lastly, this story is a little bit more detailed. I'll just kind of go over it briefly. But Abraham, he was called with his family to go to a land that wasn't his own, leaving the family, friends, and familiar. God told him to do that. God also told him they'd be conceiving of a child when they thought they couldn't. But then God then told Abraham, I want you to give up this child as a sacrifice to me, like literally like a sacrifice on an altar. I don't know what Abraham was thinking when he got this one. I would assume this would be the most difficult test for Abraham. Because this is the blessing of what God said, through this child, your descendants are going to be like the sea of the shore, or the sand by the seashore. But Abraham, he has faith in God still. If you read this passage, he even says to those who are with him, me and my son are going to go up to the hill to worship God, and then we're going to come back to you. He has faith that even if God was to ask him to do what would seemingly be impossible for him to do, he knew that God could raise him from the dead. If you know the story, God provided a ram in the thicket, and that ended up being the sacrifice, not Isaac. But this was a bold, bold move Abraham was making here, to know God and his character in such a way, to step out in a way that seems almost like, I don't know, the circumstances don't seem to add up, but I know my God does. Lord, I'm gonna trust you. Two quick examples. I think of in the Old Testament, I think of Joshua when he's with the Israelites and they're going through the land of the promised land and there's different cities they were taking. And God gives them a strategy of take all your worshipers, go around the city of Jericho 7 times. Bit unusual. And on the seventh time, the seventh day, all the walls are just going to collapse. And Joshua, believing who God is and listening, he followed accordingly. Earlier in the Bible, you see Noah being an example of building an ark when there hadn't been yet rain from heaven, and spending a good portion of his life building something that most of everyone else would probably ridicule him on. But he had a big view of God, and he stepped out in faith. So I want to wrap up with just a couple things. This isn't like a main point, but it's through all these things. Abraham heard God, and he moved. Abraham heard God, and he believed that there would be, and so did Sarah, believed that there would be a child. Abraham heard God, and even believed him for the sacrifice of his son and the resurrection of his son. One of the big themes is Abraham knows how to listen to God. Right? Those are some pretty big things. He obviously doesn't talk about it in detail, but he's obviously working some type of daily or weekly or something, listening and tuning into the voice of God. And if you're here and you're wanting to grow in there, I would encourage you. There's a class starting up soon that talks about listening to the voice of God. But here's a couple of things I want to just wrap up with. How is God speaking to you? Is he asking you to move out, literally move somewhere or stay somewhere in an act of faith? Is there something that God said, I want to do in your life that literally is supernatural? And maybe you falter in believing that. I would encourage you, believe who God is and what he says. Maybe you've been spending a lot of time focusing on your earthly home and not a lot of time focusing on building treasures in your heavenly home. And then lastly, trusting in God even when circumstances do not make sense. God, you make sense. What you're calling me to do doesn't. And Laurel was talking about earlier, it's great to have confirmation. That's a beautiful thing. If you're thinking, oh, God's calling me to do this, invite some mature other people that say, hey, who love the Lord, I think this is what God's saying. Does that resonate with you? Pray together. But I encourage us, each one of us, for this year, Laurel said it, but that we would grow in this area as a church, that we would grow in faith, which means we're growing in prayer, which means we're having a bigger view of God. Faith and prayer, I don't actually have like a verse for this, it's just a gym thought, but I think the faith level and the prayer level is almost exactly linked in. If your prayer life is non-existent, I'm pretty sure your faith life will be non-existent. Because you're not really spending any time with God, and you're not really hearing anything from God. So even if God wants you to do really awesome stuff, if you're not having a conversation or picking up the phone, it's really hard to follow in faith if there's no voice to be heard. I encourage you, spend some time with the Lord. I want to invite up the musicians now at this time as we'll be wrapping up the service. And as we close, I want to pray, and then we're going to have a song. Which you can sit and reflect to, or if you want to sing, you can. It's called The Voice of Truth. Some of you know it by Casting Crowns. I asked the musicians to do it as a kind of a reflective special at the end. And as we're listening to this song, I encourage you, you can sing the lyrics, you can just sit and listen. Maybe the Holy Spirit's speaking to you right now, and you realize there's things that God's wanting to do in your life. I'll encourage you to just pull aside for a moment and listen to what God might be saying and speaking. As we're talking about walking out in faith in 2018. And I just like to pray before they lead us in this song. God, we thank you for who you are. God, we thank you, God, that you are unchanging. Your characteristics are true. Who you are is not different from when you were loving on Abraham and Sarah to how you care for John and Jane to how you care for us right now. Lord, help us to listen to your voice more than the ones that are the naysayers, our self-voices, sinful voices, demonic influences, any other voice, God, that might say, that's uncomfortable, that's not the Lord. You don't really need to do that because that person will get saved some other way. Lord, I just pray that we would listen into your voice, God, that you could build our faith for those who are stuck right now and maybe thinking of the past more than the present and the future. God, I pray for a release for those who are maybe just like, I'm not experiencing much of God. I don't have the joy I used to have to. I don't have the peace. When I look backwards, I see all those things. I don't want to go back to either a physical or a historic or a time period. But God, I pray that there would be release in this season right now for each one of us, that we could bloom where we're living and the things of God, that spiritually speaking, there could be a garden. God, that would just bring life to those around us and just honor to you. Lord, work and move in us. Help us, God, to be open to the things of you and the new things of you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.